The anonymous landlord is more than just making profit from property. It's a system of automation and a strategy which will shape the way you invest in property forever. It's a quality of life, it's a way of life, it's a business mindset. The anonymous landlord will make loads of money from property and continue to grow wealth and assets without giving up time or energy or life. Because what's the point in making a load of money from property if you've got no time or energy to enjoy it? My name's Tom Sohn, and this is The Anonymous Landlord. Hi, this is Tom Sohn, and welcome to another episode of The Anonymous Landlord. And today I saw a question from Sharon, and Sharon wanted to find out a bit more about bridging loans and bridging finance, but specifically about how much a bridging loan is going to cost, what the monthly repayments are, what the other fees that she'll have to pay will be. And do you know what? It's such a common question. And I realise that a lot of people don't fully know the ins and outs of bridging loans and bridging finance compared to a buy-to-let mortgage. And I see a lot of property investors try and buy a property with cash and then refinance it once they've done a job to it. So a bridging loan is a really, really good way to get a property deal purchased so that you can then refurbish it and refinance it and make some profit. Or maybe you're going to refurbish it and then sell it. But a bridging loan is a really good way to get that done without needing so much cash yourself. But there are some definite costs you need to know. Now, first of all, there are monthly repayments. Now, that's varied across different lenders. Some lenders will be more cautious than others, but some people will be more expensive than others. Of course they will. That depends on a number of things. First of all, you, your own circumstances, how credit worthy you are, your, believe it or not, your experience as a property developer. But the actual cost involved is going to be a calculation. Sometimes it's worked out daily and other times it's worked out monthly. And I'll give you an example. If the annual percentage rate of a bridging loan is, 10%, for an example, then each month you will have to pay 0.83 of the loan amount each month. And that will be the repayments that you will make until you pay off that bridging loan. Similarly, some bridging loans are calculated on a daily basis. Now, if it is calculated on a daily basis, it works out to be something like 0.0027. Don't quote me on the actual figures, but you can work it out. It's basically 10% divided by 365 days. And yeah, so it's 0.0027, I think it is. And that will accumulate. You'll probably make monthly payments still, but it might be slightly different. So always know, it should be in your paperwork actually, how much the bridging loan lender is going to charge you, but also how they're going to calculate that amount. And that will let you put that into your forecast. And a quick extra tip on that, if you think that from completing the purchase to completing either the resale or the refinance, if that's going to take you, I don't know, 6 months, then you'll have to pay 6 months of bridging loan payments. Of course, that's pretty obvious. However, some bridging loan lenders will have a minimum number of payments that you have to make. So you need to know that too. And I've seen some bridging loan lenders charge a minimum of 12 months payments, but then refund the difference. So put that into perspective, if they charge you a minimum of 12 months payments, but you don't use all that 12 months to refinance or sell the property, they'll refund you the 6 months that you don't use. Hopefully that makes sense. But again, there's different criteria for different bridging loan lenders. So there's your monthly payments or your interest payments. Normally they are interest payments, of course. You don't tend to pay off the capital of a bridging loan. I think you can do. I think there are options where you can start paying off that capital monthly. But on Sharon's example, Sharon wanted to find out what the repayments were going to be across £150,000 bridging loan. Now, look, very roughly, I worked it out as roughly 0.8% per month, which equates to £1,200 per month as a payment. So she'd have to pay six payments of that. That's going to be what, £7,200? Is that right? Something like that. £7,200, 6 months, maybe a bit more. Correct me on that if I'm wrong. I'm sat in my car recording this and I don't have a calculator. So anyway, yeah, so that's what Sharon would have to pay. Now, there are some other fees involved, which you do need to know about. Number one, there's always, well, normally, a arrangement fee. And that can be around 2% of the loan. So it's very expensive to take out bridging finance, but it's also very short term. So it's well worth it if you build it into your forecast and you make an offer taking into account the amount you'll have to pay for the bridging loan facility. And look, on that exact example, Sharon's going to have to pay £1,200 for 6 months, plus, so that's £7,200 over 6 months, plus 2% of the loan, which is going to be another £3,000. So Sharon's going to have to pay £10,200 in bridging loan finance costs. And there are a few other little bits to take into account. Bear in mind, by the way, the arrangement fee might be a little bit less than that, but the ones that I've seen so far are around that sort of figure. Now, you may well also have to pay for the survey. 9 times out of 10 you will, and 9 times out of 10 a bridging loan lender at the moment will ask for some sort of survey or chartered surveyor's valuation. More often than not, it's a chartered surveyor's valuation. Now, that might cost you around the 500 quid mark as well. And again, all these costs, don't worry about how much the actual cost is. Don't worry about the actual monetary value of that fee or the cost, because you build it into your offer. It's just a number. It's not an amount of money. It's just a number. Remember that. And that number contributes towards the offer that you're going to make on that property in order to make it a viable investment. You always remember that. That's like a rule to live and die by, really, is make sure that you're always calculating your costs and fees into the offer you're going to make, and don't compromise on that. It's got to be a profitable investment. Otherwise, there's no point investing your money in it. So, yeah, so survey you might also have to pay. Now, another cost which is, again, different between lender to lender is the legal fees. Sometimes, believe it or not, you have to pay the lender's legal fees in order to complete the purchase with a bridging loan. I know, it might sound really crazy, but I get it. You know, it's not the bridging loan lender's place to, I guess, pay for your legal fees. Right? I get it, but I disagree with it, if that makes any sense. So yeah, take those into account. So there are a load of fees and a load of costs that are involved there. And in Sharon's example, she'll end up paying £10,200 in interest payments over 6 months, and also in an arrangement fee. So remember those costs. There may well be a valuation fee or a survey fee, depending on the lender. There may well be legal costs as well. Plus, now here's one that everybody gets caught out with. If you're using a mortgage broker or a mortgage advisor to arrange this bridging loan, and then you're going to refinance the property once you've done a refurbishment or something like that, then you'll need to pay that mortgage advisor twice, unless they do you a special deal. But generally speaking, and please don't begrudge a mortgage advisor from getting paid twice. They do a lot of work for you. You'd be amazed at the amount of admin they put in for your application. It's quite often nearly a day's worth of work overall for them to get that through. And if they charge you 300 quid, I think that's a fair rate for a mortgage advisor who spent years trying to get qualified and experienced. Anyway, I'm very pro mortgage advisor, by the way. The good ones. There are some really lazy, dodgy, crap ones around, but there are also some really good mortgage advisors. And by the way, if you are a mortgage advisor listening to this, then please do get in contact, because I wouldn't mind having a chat with you about a few things to do with mortgages and sharing advice and tips. And I will give you the opportunity to promote your business as well if you come onto the podcast. I think it's good to get a few different perspectives from mortgage advisors about bridging loans and buy-to-let mortgages and different types of lending and borrowing and criteria. Anyway, I've drifted off. So there's all those fees that you're going to calculate there. Make sure you build them into your offer and don't deviate from making profit. Don't try and negotiate higher and higher and higher and higher just because you really want the property when it comes off of your bottom line. It comes off of your profit. And hopefully this helps understand a bit more about bridging loan. Bridging loans are fantastic if you use them properly. And I hope that helps everybody. My name's Tom Soane. Please let me know what you thought of this episode. Email me, tom@pinkstreet.co.uk. My name's Tom Soane. This is The Anonymous Landlord. Thank you for joining me and I hope you enjoyed this podcast. But before you go to the next episode, I really want to hear from you. Just search Tom Soane on any social media or just email me, tom@pinkstreet.co.uk. I'd love to know your thoughts on this episode. And if you need any help with your own situation, just get in touch. I'll answer every email and every message, I promise. Anyway, see you in the next podcast. And remember, being a landlord is hard. Being an anonymous landlord is easy. Invest, enjoy, repeat, and grow.